We are back.
I just got a text from somebody that works in pro sports. You guys will appreciate this.
Nobody cares. No. I'm kidding.
We were talking about Doug Peterson getting fired.
Yeah.
And he says the first thing everyone does when they get fired is go to Europe. So it's perfect. Just fire him over there.
Just stay over there. Fly over the wife.
She'll already be there. Hey, you got a one-way ticket taken care of already. Lodging for 2 weeks. If you want to fire him, fine. I'm going to Europe. See you later.
Would you rather go to London or Ireland?
I've been to London. I've never been to Ireland. So I would go to Ireland because I've never been there. But I've been to London, but I haven't really like spent a whole lot of time in London. I think I spent 3 days there with my parents 20 years ago, and then Jen and I did a day in London last year.
What's your bucket list vacation right now, since you've already been to like
France? Oh, boy. Probably, I'm going to say Spain.
Ugh. That's mine.
We almost did our honeymoon in Spain.
Would you go see a footy match?
I would like to go see. Yeah, I'd like to go to an EPL game. You know, not like here over there. I'd like to go to an EPL game or a Bundesliga, which is Germany, I believe, and then Liga Spain or whatever what's their soccer league called?
I don't know.
That's at the tip of my tongue. But anyway, I'd like to go see a game over there, but Spain, you know, one of my best friends growing up, my neighbor, they were from Spain, like first generation in the United States. And so I was kind of, you know, had some of that culture growing up and the food, always loved the food and whatnot. And I guess the southern coast of Spain is supposed to be spectacular, like beaches and beautiful and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think Spain. What about you?
Scotland or Ireland.
Okay.
Obviously with the golf, but I won't get any more into that because I won't get made fun of. But I'd love to go play the Old Course.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
I've got a lot of Scottish in my bloodline, too, so that'd be kind of cool.
You see that dog leg over there, mate?
Or Fiji. That's another one of my bucket list items.
So, Mac, yours is Spain, too?
Yeah, I don't know why Barcelona has always been somewhere I've wanted to visit. Yeah. I've never been out of the country, so really a lot of places. But okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like Europe right now. You know, kind of got the bug. You get that travel bug, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I got the Vern bug. I listened to Vern last night until about 12:30. I'm serious.
Vern, we got out of there so fast, Vern wasn't even on when we left. But I did hear Vern, and I want Vern to kind of weigh in on this a little bit as well. I felt like Ryan and Denny were saying goodbye to each other for the final time last night. Did anybody else feel that way listening to the end of that broadcast? I mean, I don't know if it's how they normally end a season, but Ryan was like thanking Denny for 26 great years and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Denny was kind of like thanking everybody and talking about, you know, the guys on the broadcast and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know if anybody else heard that last night, but I was listening to him like, is Denny saying goodbye without telling us goodbye? I don't know. And I hope not. I hope we get another year or so out of Denny. But if he was saying goodbye last night, I was like, man, I don't know what's going on here. So I don't know if anybody else had that kind of takeaway from the end of the broadcast last night, but that's kind of what we heard in the car driving home, and my wife and I are like, is Denny saying goodbye? I hope not.
We'll be joined by Vern in just a few minutes here, and Vern is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, baseball fans. Yeah, I don't know, man. I saw Denny in the stairwell at the end of the night. I mean, he's still taking the stairs, so I think he's probably still able to do so.
Dude, he's in better shape than all of us.
Yeah, I mean, he was at the top of the stairwell. I was like, Denny, thanks. And he's just like, you know, appreciate it. And it was, you know, that was that. But I don't think he's done. I think he's kind of like obviously in that legacy seat where it's like he's going to tell the organization.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Like whenever Vin Scully did it, you know, he was just basically like, I'm going to do this until I die.
But Denny's such, I don't want to use the term a private guy. Denny's just such a, it's not about me guy. I could see him just, that was it last night, and him just walking away, not wanting a big deal or a celebration. I mean, they gave PR guys celebrations longer than they're going to give for Denny Matthews, I feel like. And so I think if that was Denny's last game last night, damn, I wish there was a celebration. And if it is going to be, and he knows that it's going to be coming sooner rather than later, I think we need to celebrate Denny Matthews around Major League Baseball. Hall of Famer, been at every Royals game basically ever, you know, except for the last few years, not traveling as much on the road, obviously. But I hope it's not his last game. But I just listened last night. I was like, damn, this is like two buddies saying goodbye to each other. And I was like a little bit sad because Ryan and Denny together on the radio are unbelievably awesome. And it was just like Ryan Lefevre is just an unbelievable human being, one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And I think he's an amazing broadcaster. And him and Denny together are special. And like hearing them together last night in the car driving home, it felt right. It just felt good. And Ryan, you know, when Ryan came here, he replaced Fred White. It was obviously a tough situation for him to do something like that. And Denny took him under his wing. And I mean, the two of them together are some of the best radio that you're going to hear. And so I was happy last night to hear those guys together. And it just, I kind of felt like Denny was saying, that's all, folks. And I hope not. But man, I think that Ryan and Denny together is just special. I wish Ryan and Denny did every game on the radio together.
Bob Uecker isn't done. I don't think Denny Matthews is done.
Good.
And I think that that's just one of those things that is kind of like the announcer's omen is that, you know, until there's, no pun intended, dead air, like they're just going to do it. I mean, I know that it's, you know, he doesn't really travel as much anymore, but he's just one of those guys where like all he can do is just talk baseball and that's all he wants to do and, you know, not married and anything like that. So it's just like, I feel like he'll do it until like he literally can't talk.
Do you talk about Uecker or Denny?
Denny.
Yeah. And you look at Uecker too. I mean, I'm sure he's living off the residuals of Major League and Mr. Belvedere too. You know, you got all those things going for you.
Plus,
so
I will tell you this to kind of ease a lot of people's tension, because from the 816, says I was lying in bed last night, listening to them talk to each other. My heart started racing because I thought he was going to announce his retirement.
I was waiting for it. Yeah. And I just got a text from somebody close to both of them that said it wasn't a goodbye. So that's good news.
And this is the thing too. Denny Matthews and the Royals will tell you before the season that it's his last year.
See, Denny's the type of guy though that I could see him not telling the Royals and just kind of doing
this
it, man.
This is different.
I know it is, but Denny's just not about himself, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think that's a thing that's about himself. I think he would make it about the I'll take the other side. I think that Denny Matthews would make it about the organization and then subtle at the end be like, and this is my last year with this wonderful organization. I think it'd be like, thank you to the Royals for, you know, however many years I've been here since day one. I appreciate this organization. It's in good hands with all the people that are behind me. And with that, I'm announcing my retirement. Let's go play one more. Let's go have one more run.
Yeah. But do you think he does that? See, I don't feel like Denny does it at the beginning of the year. You know, Denny's not an ego guy that's going to want a rocking chair and all that celebration.
But I don't think that's an ego move.
For some people it is.
But that's exactly my point. For some people it is.
Yeah.
This isn't, he's not some people. He's a guy that's just going to be like, yep, this is it. And I know, and he's also the kind of guy that's, you know, kind of like Vern, a lot of people are like, wish him happy birthday. He's like, enough. Like, thank you very much.
But
he's like, get to the Royals take, which I know he didn't say that, but the thing with Denny is he's not egotistical. So he would like to nip it in the bud immediately in the spring, be like, this will be my final year. I'll have my, you know, 15 seconds of fame with, you know, media outlets and all that. Somebody will have a great write-up about him. I can already see it. It'll probably be Vahe that writes the story about Denny Matthews. That's the only person I think that deserves to write that story. And I think that that's the way that he will do it. But I don't think he's done. I think that the way this team performed this year, he wants to see what they can do next year. Now, if they would have gone 56 wins,
maybe
you'd have heard him say, boy, this is enough for me. I can't take this bleep anymore.
Right.
First time I've cussed since 1969.
But I'm glad some other people had that same feeling too, listening, because I was on the edge of the seat in the car. Like, is Denny going to announce his retirement? Like, is this where we're going? Is he going to just say, and you know what? I've decided I'm done. Thank you, Kansas City. Goodbye. Like, that's how I thought it was going to go down. Cause that's how Denny is that's how he would do it, how he would want to do it. Well, Ryan, you got the totals for one. And he said that last night, Ryan, you want to do the totals one last time? And Ryan's like, sure. I was like, and is Denny going to retire? Like, I'm waiting for it. So we didn't get it last night. Hopefully you don't get it for a while. But, you know, like I said, I just received a text from somebody that knows both of them pretty close. And they said it wasn't a goodbye last night. So that's good.
We might have Vern a little bit later on. But as of right now, I think he might still be asleep and he deserves it. He was on the air till 1 a.m. But maybe we'll get Vern a little bit later. But we can talk about a couple of things of this Royals season. To me, in text line, this is where you can get engaged. 913-586-7965. If you want to get engaged, go to my friends at Diamonds Direct. But what was your guys' moment this year? Like, what was the moment that you were like, okay, I'm bought in? Because to me, it was the game against the Seattle Mariners. when they were down by like 7 runs or whatever it was, and they rallied back, and it was at home in front of that crowd. And it was one of those, you know, Miami Heat scenes, you know, where the fans left and then all of a sudden everybody started
trying to run back in.
And they're standing at the gate and they're you know, basically quoting Zach Bryan saying, "Open the gate." Great song. And they showed you that this team was going to be pushed around. This team had heart. This team had charisma. The team really
had
fought.
Spunk.
Yeah. And that game against Seattle way back when, because if you remember that series against Seattle, that's when like people like Vern and people started to talk about, okay, if this team's going to compete, the Seattle Mariners are a team that they're going to have to compete with. They have the best rotation, one of the best, if not the best, rotations in baseball. And, you know, that's kind of where I look at this whole thing and think to myself, you know what? That game let me know they weren't going to be pushed around. That was a game in which I thought to myself, the superstars have arrived. This team has its core. The pitching's great, and they can beat contenders in the American League. And then by the end of the season, they outwit, outlasted, and outplayed, Survivor, the Seattle Mariners. And I thought that was the moment this year where I was like, you know what? This is the game. This team can play, this team can fight, and this team believes, and this city kind of believes in this team.
All right, I'm going to take a different approach to that.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to use this moment is because I can't stop thinking about this moment. MJ's home run against the Tigers. You know, they were down in that ball game, and it felt like it was ready to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And what was it, the beginning of August, maybe it was? And then MJ hit that big home run, and they ended up winning that game. For me, that was the moment when I bought in. I'm like, all right, they got something here. They're showing fight. They're showing fire. And for whatever reason, I just can't get past that home run by MJ Melendez as the moment that kind of turned the season for me and the moment where I started to believe that this team may be headed to the postseason. And from then on there, I was like, all right, if this team doesn't make the postseason, now it's going to be very disappointing, because they never should have won that game against the Tigers, right? And if they didn't win that game against the Tigers, maybe they don't make the postseason, right? You can say that for about any of these games, because they just squeak into the playoffs. But that was kind of the moment for me where I started to believe.
Somebody from the text line says, my moment was more of a stretch. It was when Bobby's month after the All-Star game, he became a star.
Yeah, that was a hell of a month after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is tough, because it was such a stretch of baseball that not a lot of people are familiar seeing, and not a lot of people have really seen that in baseball, because it's such an up and down roller coaster that when he did start to kind of come down from that outer stratosphere level, people are like, oh, is Bobby like coming down to earth? I'm like, yeah, he's now a 315 hitter instead of a 475 hitter.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I mean, you know, he's no longer that boosted, statted player on MLB The Show or whatever it is. So from the 816, the winning record in April.
Okay, the early.
You were in early, yeah, so I like that.
But yeah. I think the majority of people, and I'll count myself in this category, is really like, oh, yeah, that was a good April, but the next shoe's going to drop. Like, you had to see it to believe it. And that's not being negative. That's being reality, right? That's being in reality. Because for so many years, we have seen this team fail. And I think our original mindset is, that's what's going to happen. So you see a good month, you're like, hey, is it just smoke and mirrors? Is it just April? And, you know, I go back to Vinny, too, telling Joel in a post-game interview on Bally's, like, stop saying we're lucky or whatever it was. We're a good team, Joel, or whatever, you know, how he phrased it. And I go back to that a lot, too, where Vinny goes, we're a good team. And that was early on. That was early on in the season where they were winning some games and having some fun, and people were wondering, you know, is this going to be a team that's going to contend? Is this a fun little story at the beginning of the year and all that kind of stuff? And Vinny looked in the camera and goes, we're a good team. And you start to believe a little bit, but you still need to see it on the field and, you know, whatnot, because we've been around sports for so long. We've seen good starts. We've seen good finishes. We just haven't seen a great stretch for a long period of time. And Vinny said that, and I think he got his teammates to buy in after he said that we're a good team. We're not just a, you know, a lucky team or a fun team. We're a good team. And I think his teammates bought in at that moment. And then the fan base comes along and, you know, we will see next year, everybody will be running out to Kauffman Stadium because they're coming off a great season.
Somebody says from the 816, they ride the coattails of that. Says, I bought in when Vinny clapped, saying we're not a bad team.
Yeah.
Somebody from the 816, after we maintained through May, Bobby Witt's go-ahead grand slam in July, that was the moment.
Was a good one,
July 29th against the White Sox.
Didn't he have like plays in the field in that game too?
He made back-to-back defensive plays to close
The game.
The 9-game perfect homestand did it for me from the 6-6-0. 7:29, obviously the White Sox home run. Mine was when they made the wild card game and the game started airing on cable TV because Bally sucks. Thank you for joining the show.
That's on you again. Stop saying you couldn't watch the Royals. You could very easily watch the Royals. You chose, and that's fine. That's fine. You chose not to. And quite honestly, there was no reason to invest in the Bally's app at the beginning of the year. You didn't know what this team was going to be like. But to say that you couldn't watch the Royals is just a fallacy.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, I like this one because it was going to be mine, but I thought it would be overly modulated on the text line. When they paid Bobby, that made them believe. And I think that's...
I think it made you believe in John Sherman.
I think there's a ton of layers there. I think that lets you believe that John Sherman was serious about what he said when he goes, I want to watch playoff baseball again in Kansas City. I miss it. I loved it.
I want to see what a wild card team looks like.
Right. And that was there. Some people might even say they believe when they signed Lugo and Waka. I mean, those
but
are
what
big.
Did you really expect out of Lugo and Waka? You know, like two guys that didn't have much experience starting and were older and, you know.
Well, when Lugo got here, a lot of people, and I remember Vern said it, he's like, Lugo's not going to throw overpowering stuff, but he's going to throw sweepers. He's going to get he's going to get more swing and misses than you think. He's going to be a solid arm in your rotation. And with Waka, to me, I'll be honest with you, this is fair. I'd have to do a lot of research, but on After Hours, I said signing Michael Waka to me gives me a lot of similarities of James Shields. Not the same pitcher, but Michael Waka was a guy that came to a pitching staff that had young pitching that were regarded as high prospects. Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, those type of guys, Alec Marsh, all the guys in that rotation, mm-hmm. And he was a guy that's like, look, I've won a World Series. I've been in the spotlight. I've made some money. I want to help this team win. I want to be a leader of this rotation. And he was that.
Yeah.
Like, he was that person. That was my expectation, was to see how Michael Waka could come to this team and really be that leader. Because you remember when James Shields came here, he really changed Danny Duffy's career for a short term.
He did.
Like, he was like, hey, man, you're an emotional guy. So am I. My favorite music group is Pennywise. I don't know if you've ever listened to Pennywise, but they are a hard rock band. James Shields, you remember he'd always do the yell into his glove.
Yeah.
And Danny Duffy was one of those guys that at one point struck out 15 Tampa Bay Rays in a game.
Oh, I think it was 18.
No, it's 15. He set the Royal record.
I think it was 18.
Okay, look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Because I think Zach Greinke set the record with 13. And when that happened, that let me believe that the ownership was in. They were making moves. And MLB Network was talking about how this team was serious and they were making moves and they were a team to not be sleeping on. And the Kansas City Royals proved a lot of people wrong, winning 56 games and moving that into an 84-win season. So, I mean, there's a lot of belief in this game, in this team.
18.
Good job. I bought in when they signed Bobby to an 18-year deal. Zach Greinke, I think, at 15 or 16. But, I mean, look, 41,000 on Wednesday night. 30.
Actually, we were both wrong. 16.
16. So you went over and I did.
You went under, yeah.
Yeah, so I win.
Eh, not really. We were both wrong.